to be able to come together to worship the Lord this morning. I appreciate your presence, and for those who are here, I'm grateful for that. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 20, in just a minute we will begin there. John chapter 20, if you're visiting, we're also thankful for your presence. The song that we sang before the lesson, Salvation Has Been Brought Down, and the need to go preach that salvation to all the nations is really the subject of our sermon this morning and our lesson, and so it goes quite well with what we will be studying. I want to talk this morning about the Great Commissions, plural, the Great Commissions. There's an S on the end. We all grew up hearing sermons on the Great Commission, but I want to talk about the Great Commissions. There's actually just one commission, but it's given in three different places, and I want to look at that this morning. I was thinking about these thoughts as we were wrapping up the life of Christ, and I want us to return this morning to Jesus' original plan to save the world, because we've lost sight of that. We've lost sight of what that original commission was. Look at the English word commission. What is inside the English word commission? What is inside that word? Mission. Mission. What is our mission? Do we know what our mission is? When an entity, when a body loses the understanding of what its mission is, it typically fails. This is true in business. If you have a business mission or a business model, and the CEO and others, when it's first established, they're right on track, they're on mission, but several years goes by and they lose sight of what the mission is. And a lot of times that business will not be performing well for the public. This is true with a nation, when the leaders of a nation lose sight of what the mission of the original founding forefathers was, then eventually that nation will go by the wayside. It's true with the local church and its leadership. If it forgets what the original mission was, these entities continue to exist. They still live on, but they're not fulfilling what their original mission was, and typically they fail. It's also true in the home and family. As a parent or a husband or a wife or a father or a mother, when we lose sight of what the original mission is of the family that is laid down in Scripture, then we see that it just falls apart and it causes a lot of problems and heartache and people are lost over it. So it's very important to go back and see what Jesus' original mission was. It's being lost today in the religious world and unfortunately among, I'm afraid, some of my own brethren. We've just lost sight of what the original mission was. And it's good for us to get back from time to time to see what that was. The leadership needs to make sure they know what the mission is. The flock needs to make sure they know what the mission is. Everyone needs to know. And the only way you can do that is to go back and read it again and look at it again and remind ourselves of what it is. And when you look at the life of Christ, you'll find that Jesus actually on three occasions talks to them about what we call the Great Commission. And in our scripture reading this morning in Acts chapter 1, before he ascended back into heaven, he talks with them about this Great Commission. He talked with them about other things. He talked with them for the space of 40 days about the kingdom of God. He talked with them about a number of things. But among that was this commission to go save the world. But we may not realize that was actually given on three different occasions. And so I want us to look at that this morning. We're very familiar with, if I were to say to you this morning, turn in your New Testament to the Great Commission, you would probably turn to Matthew 28 or Mark 16. And we will be doing that. But we also need to turn to John 20 and Luke 24. So let's look this morning at the great commissions. And I will take these in somewhat of a chronological order. I'd like to begin in John chapter 20. One thing, brethren, we're going to notice this morning about these times in which Jesus told his apostles to go preach the gospel. I want us to notice three things about it just in general. First of all, notice that the commissions that Jesus gave, number one, were simple. They're not the complex missions of modern day religions. You go around in Clarksville today, just look at the physical facilities of a particular denomination, and you're like, there's a lot going on there that's more than just saving souls. They've got this annex building, and they've got that annex building, and they've got, you know, this line of buses for this, and another line of buses, and there's a lot of stuff going on here. When you go back and look at the original Great Commission, it's, number one, it's quite simple. It's not complex like it is today. Today it's filled with all kinds of other stuff that men and women want. And unfortunately, that is true even among some churches of Christ. You can drive by some Church of Christ buildings and there's a lot going on there that's not just a simple auditorium to worship in. You're like, what's that other building? And then there's a building over there and there's another building back there and there's some school buses over here. Something's going on here. So, we've got to get back to just the original commission. And it's really simple. It's not complex. Number two, and similar to what I just said, you're going to notice that in the Great Commission, it's very focused. It's narrow. It's focused on the saving of mankind. It's one focused thought. Today, it is quite broad and diverse. All kinds of things are going on. All kinds of missions. You'll see this a lot. There's a mission for this, and you'll get on their website, well, there's a mission for this, and there's another mission, and there's a medical missions team. Okay, there's a medical missions, so that's a mission. And then there's this mission team and that mission team, and it's quite diverse and broad. We're going to read passages this morning that, it's number one, it's just simple and it's very focused. We've gotten away from that today. Now, it's just anything under the name of religion and slap the word mission on it, and we're good to go. We've got to get back to the original. We've been talking in our Bible class about Josiah and how he wanted to bring the people back to the original thing that they need to be doing. That is so needful today and in every generation. And then number three, we're going to notice this morning that the mission was what Jesus wanted, not the desires of people today. Today, the mission of a particular religious organization is driven by the wants and the desires of the leadership or the people out in the pew, what they want. We're looking this morning at what Jesus wants, and that's what we need to have in our life. I can literally, after services, sit down with you and come up with all kinds of missions that I would like to have. And I could ask, would you like a mission? And one of you would raise their hand and say, well, I would like this mission. And we could just have all kinds of missions. But it's a church built upon what we want and what we desire. We've got to get back to what Jesus wants. So let's look this morning at the three places and times toward the end of Jesus' life in which he said to his disciples, I want you to go out and save the world. Let's start with John chapter 20. This is on the Sunday night of the Resurrection Sunday when he meets with his disciples. Judas has already gone out and hung himself. He's not there. And Thomas is not there. Okay? The rest are gathered together somewhere in Jerusalem. This is the Sunday night of the first Resurrection Sunday. Okay? And this is one that often gets left out. John chapter 20 and verse 19, if you'll read with me. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, so there's 10 of them now, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And the disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said unto them, again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. There's your commission. I'm about to send you. Well, what was he going to send them to do? Read verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Here's the mission. Here's what I'm sending you to do. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. This is not going to happen in the sense of the Catholic Church. They will use this verse to say, you go to a priest and you confess your sins and he forgives you. They read that passage. That's not what this is. The apostles are going to forgive someone or not forgive someone by the terms and the conditions that they preach in the gospel. When they stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach the terms and the conditions of salvation and people obey that or disobey that, in that sense, they are forgiving the people or not forgiving the people by preaching the terms of forgiveness. But what do I want you to notice here this morning, brethren, is, look at this. What's the mission? Forgiveness of sins. That's the outcome of this mission. And if you're taking notes this morning, jot down what was not mentioned here. What is not the mission? Jesus doesn't talk about social reform. He doesn't talk about education. He doesn't talk about health care. He doesn't talk about a whole bunch of things. He said, I want you to go out and forgive people of their sins. And yet you read online, well, some Church of Christ has a medical mission. You drive by a Church of Christ building here in Clarksville. There's a church building and there's a school. Oh, now we've got another mission. You see, brother, we've got to get back to what Jesus wants. What is His great commission? What we've done is we've added to the mission. Oh yeah, everybody's still trying to save the lost, but we've added to it. Now it's education. And now it's medical missions to Nicaragua. Or this or that. Listen, brethren, we need to help people around the world. That is a mission of the individual. That's a mission of the home. It is not a mission of the local church. If you want to go to Nicaragua and help vaccinate people and give them dental and eye care and all those kinds of things, I think that's great. Do it as an individual. Do it as a concerned Christian, but that is not a mission of the local church. And yet, religions in general, and unfortunately some of our own brethren, are doing that very thing. And so when it comes time for an election, you get out and get people to vote. That's another mission that people have. Or the list is almost endless. There's all kinds of missions, youth missions. There's all kinds of that. So we got youth camps and youth this and youth that. I'm in favor of educating our youth, and I'm in favor of giving them fun things to do and it, summer camp, all for it. But that's not a mission that Jesus sent any of His disciples out to do. So number one, in John chapter 20, I am sending you, verse 21, I'm giving you a mission. And it's to forgive sins. Let's stay focused on that. Let's look at the second place in which Jesus gave a great commission. Turn with me now to the familiar one of Matthew chapter 28. This is not the same setting. This is sometime after that first Sunday. Sometime after that, during this space of 40 days, Jesus, in fact, he said to those when he had resurrected, he said, "Tell the disciples that I'm going to Galilee and there I will meet you." So now we're not in a home somewhere in Jerusalem. We are in Galilee and we are in a mountain up in Galilee by the Sea of Galilee. So turn with me to Matthew 28. This is the familiar one. Matthew 28, verse 16. But the 11 disciples, notice that Thomas is back with them. The 11 disciples went into Galilee unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. That's where I want to meet you. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came unto them and spake unto them, saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore." Just like in John 20, "I am sending you out. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo," or behold, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Let's just look at this simple commission, this simple, focused commission on saving people from sin. Let's just analyze it. Let's just go down through it. First of all, notice that Jesus said, "Go." This is actually not a command. It is literally having gone. Having gone. You go out. And having gone, make disciples of all nations. The first thing I want to notice with you this morning from this text is, notice the direction of the mission. It's having gone out. We're not waiting for the lost to come to us. We're to go out. I think it's great when visitors come to the building. I really like when they do, and I appreciate our visitors this morning. And I appreciate when somebody comes to a gospel meeting, and please keep inviting. Please get people to come so they can hear. But actually, the mission is not just to wait until they come here and talk with them, but having gone, we make disciples. Look at the direction. We do, brethren, have to go out. We've got to get the salt out of the salt shaker. We've got to get the seed out of the bag. We've got to get out of this building and take it to our friends and neighbors. So notice that. We've got to go out. And so in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, after the church had begun on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, when new Christians were being persecuted, the text says, they were scattered abroad and they went about preaching the word. They were scattered abroad. So yes, it's good to meet together in a building. It is good to invite our friends and family. We need to be doing that. But honestly, we can always do better with getting out of the building and taking the gospel to the lost around us. Friends, family, co-workers, classmates, and so forth. Notice the direction of the mission. Going out, not just waiting for people to come in. But then notice in Matthew chapter 28 a second thing, and that is the mission was to make disciples. We get our English word math from this. The Greek word mathetes. We get math or mathematics. Literally, it's the idea of a learner and then a follower. We need to make disciples. That's the goal of the mission. That's the goal. Now look at what he said. He didn't say, "Go therefore and get people baptized." He didn't do that. What's the goal of the mission? To make disciples, not just get somebody baptized. Baptism, of course, is important for the remission of sins, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the goal is not just simply to get somebody wet. Well, I really hope somebody will get baptized. Look at what the goal is. We need to be a learner and follower of Christ. That's the ultimate goal. Yes, baptism is the beginning. But sometimes when we talk with others about baptism, it's almost as if that is some sort of a magical thing that if somebody does that and they get wet, then everything's just going to be great the rest of their life. The goal is, that's the beginning, the goal is to become a disciple of Christ. And if we don't stress that and teach that, then what happens is you find people are baptized physically, and then sometime and often shortly thereafter, they just fall away. they never became a learner who then becomes a follower. And they just drop out. Somebody said, well, wasn't that person baptized years ago? Yeah. But they never became a disciple. So notice that in the text. That's the ultimate goal, not just getting someone wet. And then notice a third thing in the text. And that is, as you make disciples of all nations, and I'll talk about that in a minute, and I appreciate you being supportive of taking the gospel here in Clarksville, but also allowing me, for example, to go to Ghana or the Philippines or help others. We're supporting Benjamin and Mario in those places, and it's for all the nations, verse 19. Notice that. We want to get outside of our own locality and help others as well. But Jesus said, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let me talk about the third thing that we find in this text. What's the third part of this mission? One, having gone, we've got to be going out. Number two, we've got to be making disciples, not just getting people wet. And number three, when we baptize them, which is immersion in water, not sprinkling, look at the text. Your version might say baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, but it's actually baptizing them into, if you have a marginal note on that. The preposition into is talking about the placement of the person into a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Listen very carefully. This is very important. It's what you're doing, it's not what you're saying. Make a note of that. When you baptize someone into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's an act that you are doing, it's not words that you're saying. Those are fine words. I say those words. And other people, baptizing people, say those words, and that's fine. But it's not a phrase you say. It's an action that you're doing. So a couple of weeks ago when I baptized Fifi into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it wasn't just words I was saying. When we are baptized into the name, we go down into that water and we come up and we have been put into a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in which I am to be walking in that relationship each day. It's not just words that it's not like a magical incantation. Baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not just a statement. It's an act of what I'm about to do to you. So let's look at a couple of passages that actually illustrate that. I want to look at three passages where this baptized into is used. Baptized ace or into is actually used several places in the New Testament, but I just want to look at three of them. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And this shows you that it's not just words you say. Romans 6, 3. Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized ace into Christ, look at this. Paul doesn't say, well, it was because some words were said. He says, all of you who were baptized into Christ, look at this, were baptized into His death. We're baptized into a relationship where, just as Christ physically died, we die to the old man. We're being baptized into a relationship, into death. It's not words you say, it's what I'm doing and what you're doing. When you're baptized into His death. That's the place where the old man is gone. We're not going to keep living the life of sin. Let's look at another example of where this is found. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. It shows you that baptized into is not just words or a phrase. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For in one Spirit, that is, we're all following the words of the Spirit, for in one Spirit were you all baptized ace, one body, whether Jews or Greeks. We're baptized into one body. We're baptized into. When you're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is the new relationship that you're in, and you're now in the body of Christ. You're not in the world anymore. Yes, you still live in Clarksville, but you're not in the world anymore with regard to their thinking and how you're going to live and how you're going to think. You are in the body. But also look at verse
12 and 13, you're in that body with other people, whether Jews or Greeks, so it doesn't matter what our color is or our background or where we come from or anything. We're all in the same relationship. We're baptized into a spiritual body of Christ. It's not words you say. It's an action that is taking place, and it's putting you into a realm where you are saved, and we are to be walking and living in that realm. That's one thing that's very important about Matthew 28. To be baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit means that when I come up out of the waters of baptism, that's the realm in which I am living. I've been placed into this realm. That's my new life. And that's why I believe some people who fall away thereafter, they don't get that. They just think, well, I got wed and the guy said something, and down the road, I just want to live. I want to go back and live the way I used to live. Wait a minute. You were baptized into the name of. That is their character, who they are, their authority, everything about them. You're now, that is now your new realm of life. I don't think that has been, in my opinion, has been taught well in the past, even among brethren. And I want to make sure that that's clear among us. We are placing someone. I physically help a person go down into the water and come back up. I physically help them. But what's happening is it's an action that is placing them into a whole new realm of life. Let me look at one last verse and then we need to move on. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Galatians 3, 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. That shows you that baptism into is not just some words you say, but you are baptized into Christ, and when you do that, you put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. Christ is like you put on clothes. He surrounds you. That's the life in which you are now in. Baptism into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Placed into a new life, a life that dies to the old man, Romans 6:3, a life that is joined with others, no matter where you come from, in one body, 1 Corinthians 12. And then, when you've been baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you have put on Christ. It's like He clothes you with His Word, His example, everything about Him. So, back to Matthew 28 now. The mission is we have to go out. Number two, it's focused on making disciples. Number three, we are physically helping someone go down and be immersed into a new relationship and a completely new walk of life where the deity, we call it the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is our whole new area of life. God controls my life. Christ controls my life. The words of the Holy Spirit control my life. I'm in them now. I'm into them. Not physically, not like we're physically in a room, but we are in relationship with them. Everything about them, as I said just a minute ago, their words, their character, their authority, everything about them, the name, everything about them is my new life. That's what that passage is teaching. There's some other good things that could be said here. Maybe we will reserve them for another time, but turn with me now to Mark chapter 16. This is sort of the other side of the coin to Matthew chapter 28. I believe this is the same situation where Jesus is with them up around the Sea of Galilee in a mountain where He had met them. So Matthew 28 and Mark 16, I believe, are best kept together as the same occasion. There's some wording here that's very similar to the wording of Matthew 28, so these are probably the same occasions. Mark 16:14, and afterward He was manifest unto the 11. We just read that in Matthew 28. As they sat at meat, and He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen Him after He had risen. And even in Matthew 28, we're told that after some time had passed, some were even still doubting. And He said unto them, go into all the world.
We just saw that in Matthew 28. Having gone. That's the direction. We've got to get out of the church building. It's great when people come. We invite, we appreciate that, but we also have to get out. So, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. The first thing that I'd like to say about this mission is, notice that preaching is the action which saves, not entertainment. Preaching is the action which saves. Today, there's a lot of stand-up comedy, there's a lot of entertainment, there's a lot of things going on to try to get people to come in, and even sometimes our brethren will use hot dogs and hamburgers and other kinds of stuff to get people to come hear the gospel message. Go preach the gospel. It is very simple, it's very focused, it's very singular. But so many people have strayed from that, and now it's the gospel and hot dogs and hamburgers. We've gotten away from the original mission. And many people don't even stop and ask, well, what was the original mission? Preaching saves, not entertainment. But notice this. Jesus said in verse 15, go preach the gospel to the whole creation. It's the one true gospel message that saves. Not fun and games and stand-up comedy and stories and having a good time, not social and recreational activities. Notice he said, preach. That's the action. Notice what the content is. The gospel. The New Testament gospel. I love to eat. But eating and those kinds of things are separate from what our mission is. Our mission is to preach the gospel to the whole creation. And the modern religious world has lost sight of that. It's a little bit of preaching the gospel and a whole lot of entertainment, social and recreational activities. And when you bring someone in with a hot dog and a hamburger, in order to get them to stay down the road, you're going to have to offer them a steak and potato. And that's just the bottom line of it. And that's why you can talk to even some among our own brethren. They are losing people in mass because they got that all turned around. And people come on the front end for hot dogs and hamburgers, but it's not a part of the original mission. And Jesus knows what kinds of things need to be in the original mission. Listen, that will keep a person safe all throughout their lifetime. He knows what those core elements are. And that's what he says to do. When we go in and try to modify it, it doesn't work. Look with me at verse 16. Let's look at another part of the mission. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Notice that both belief and baptism are essential for salvation, not just faith only. But that has been changed today. So you're saved by faith only. No, Jesus said, he that believeth, there's your faith, and is baptized shall be saved. We all understand two and two equals four. We understand that. But for some reason, when it comes to the plan of salvation, people say two equals four, and then later you can have the other two. No. Two and two equals four. Belief and baptism equals salvation. It's simple. And look at the flip side to that. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Disbelief condemns. And so there are going to be many people who will be lost in the judgment day. They don't believe. They don't believe the one true gospel. So our mission is to simply preach the gospel. As tempting as it is to add on a whole bunch of other things. And by the way, brethren, did you know that that really was the mission of the Lord's church up until around 1950? You go back in the history books you can find in the early 1900s, 1800s, most brethren were focused on just that mission. Right after World War II, people changed the mission. Have you ever gone by a Church of Christ building? You can see this up by the TSC north of town. Have you ever gone by a really old Church of Christ building? It's typically an old red brick building, and you can tell it goes way back. Have you ever noticed on these little old red brick buildings that there'll be this white thing out to the side that's another building that you can tell was pretty much built later? Do you know what that is? It's brethren just simply came in that little red brick building. They just came to worship God and preach the gospel. But somebody sold them the line along about 1950s and the 1960s. No, you need to also have fun, food, and games. And so you'll find this extra building that was built on beside of it. It's usually white, painted white and so forth. You'll see that north of town. I see it all over the place. Do you know that brethren started off with, this is our mission that's actually found in the Bible, but later they add this other thing. And then long about 1970, brethren not only had that extra building for the food and stuff, some of them said, we need to add a gymnasium. We need to add a gymnasium for the young people. Now you've got the building, then you've got that little side building, and then you've got this gymnasium across the parking lot. What's going on there? The mission is changing. We've got to understand, brethren, historically speaking, it's very, very easy for elders and others to get off mission. And we've got to get back. And I appreciate the fact that I'm among elders that aren't off mission, but so many are. Have we even gone back to read the original mission? We need to do that. It's so important for us today. Last of all, and then I'll close with Luke 24. In verse 17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. And he speaks about those who are going to cast out demons and speak in tongues and take up serpents. The apostles, first of all, fulfilled this on the day of Pentecost. And then those with whom they laid their hands on were able to do miracles. And this is what confirmed the word. And so, verse 19, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, this is Acts 1, 6 through 11, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they, the disciples, went forth and preached everywhere. They were on mission, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word by the signs that followed. And so it was a miraculously confirmed preaching of the word. It started on the day of Pentecost with the apostles speaking in tongues, and then others were able to do things, and you can read about that in the book of Acts. But they went everywhere preaching the word. They stayed on mission. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 is most likely after Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Jesus is back in Jerusalem. That was up near the Sea of Galilee, up in a mountain somewhere. They're most likely back in Jerusalem. When he gets done speaking, he leads them out over against Bethany. And we know from Acts 1 that it was from the Mount of Olives that he went back up into heaven. So Luke 24 is probably a third time and place. Let's look at one last thing now in the mission. Luke 24, verse 44. He said unto them, the apostles, these are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their mind that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, like Isaiah 53, for example, and rise again from the dead the third day. Now, underscore this. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. That is what he had just said in Mark 16. By going out and working the miracles, they could give their testimony, eyewitness testimony of his resurrection, and prove that through miracles. Look at verse 47. We want to add this to our lesson this morning. Repentance leads to remission of sins. You don't baptize someone and then later try to get them to change their life. the mission was, go out and repentance and remission of sins should be preached. What do you preach? In Mark 16, go preach the gospel. What's a part of that, according to Luke 24? What's a part of that mission or commission? You need to be preaching repentance. And that's the very thing that's hard for some people to do today, because we don't want to tell people to change. We want everybody to feel comfortable in their lifestyle and so forth. Everybody's fine. No, a part of the mission is where you and I have to tell people to repent. It's hard. It's difficult. You've got to stop this. You've got to turn your life around. You can't keep living in your sin. That is difficult for people to say, but it's a part of the mission. And you'll see today where the mission has gotten changed to just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you're in an unscriptural marriage or homosexual lifestyle or drinking and whatever, you know, you can keep doing that. We'd like for you to come to church if you can. No, repent. Repent. And it must be preached. One thing I wanted to mention about this was Benjamin, who's preaching in Ghana, and we support him. They have an interesting thing going on over there that I was not aware of until I went. They have a thing called Bible Hammer. And I'd never heard that before, and I said, what is that? They practice what's called the Bible Hammer. And just think of a hammer where you pound someone over the head with it. What they do is, they get people to be baptized. They get them lined up. You got to be baptized. They get them all lined up. When they come to be baptized, it's like hammering it into them. Got to be baptized. Got to be baptized. They do it. They don't ask any questions about their marriage or about their lifestyle or anything. They just get them baptized. And the buildings fill up with all these baptisms and stuff. And then later, if you find out that you're living in an adulterous relationship or something, you might start talking with them about, you know, you might want to think about getting out of that. Look at the verse. It's repentance first. It's bizarre. And I asked Benjamin, I said, well, are any of these preachers later trying to get people out of sin? He said, sometimes they don't even mess with it anymore. We've got them baptized. They call it Bible Hammer. I've never heard that before. When Peter, in Acts 2:38, when he's preaching, he said, repent and be baptized. Repentance precedes baptism. So we've got to stop our sinful life. And we've got to remind people that that's very important. And then last of all, he said to all nations. This showed up in Matthew 28. It showed up in Mark 16. There it was all creation. Here it's all nations. And I appreciate your support in preaching here and other places in this country. And if I can go somewhere else, I appreciate that as well. Everyone we can try to contact is deserving of this mission. Just this last week, a preacher in Indonesia, I don't know him from Adam. I'm trying to learn about him. He emails me and says, can I take the material on your website and translate it into my language so that I can share it with people here in Indonesia? We don't realize the work that we're doing now can grow fruit and can spread all over the world. I said, of course, to him, of course you can do that. But the gospel needs to go into all creation. Well, the lesson is yours. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. The great commissions of Jesus. John 20, Matthew 28, Mark 16, and then Luke 24. Different occasions, but the same simple, focused mission. Save people from sins. If there's other things going on in life that we would like to be a part of, maybe your thing is politics. Maybe your thing is medicine. Maybe your thing is something else. As long as it's godly, wholesome Christian values, go for it. But in the local congregation, our mission is what Jesus said. And I appreciate our elders staying on mission. Let's all work together to do that. And we will save souls here and
abroad.
As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, if we can help you to be baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, if we can help you to start that new relationship this morning, or if you need to come back to the Lord in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?